Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's a Saturday edition of Wrestling Inc., and have we got a show for you. Drew McIntyre got screwed, Bayley held on to the titles, and huge upset in the tag team division. But before we get into all of that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by none other than Flobo Boyce. Flobo, how you doing on this beautiful, sunny Saturday?
I was like, the crew, it's just me, unless there was somebody in the back in here about Clash at the Castle. I'm excited. In fact, I was really only Scottish merchandise that I own, this team jacket, which I'm regretting because it's like 85 degrees here in Los Angeles. But still, so excited to be a part of the festivities and being here at Wrestling Inc.
Yeah, it's a here in Southern California, I know we have a worldwide audience. Y'all care about the weather in sunny Southern California. Feels like summer really just turned on this week. You had fall up until this week, and then suddenly, bam, it's warm, it's hot, it's beautiful. But Flobo, this was a pretty big event. Clash the Castle, we're going to get into it. And of course, everyone who's joining us early on, thank you so much for joining along for this special edition PLE Wrestling Inc. You're Scottish. How did it feel to have Clash the Castle in your home country?
Yeah, well, that's not my home country. There's like two different countries in between there. But yeah, it was pretty cool. Like, I was telling people shamelessly, whoever wanted to listen, it was cool to visit Scotland for the first time last year and see where my mom, like, you know, start her craft as a 20-year-old something in the big city, and what it means for my family on my dad's side, because Boyce is a Scottish name. So the going back is pretty awesome, but I can't walk into a room and be like, aye, lads and lassies, I know my place. They will kick me out so fast. Check.
Dude, you show up with like a bagpipe and a kill. You do strike a groundskeeper Willie figure, though.
Totally.
But you know, watching this show, it's so funny. I'm more on the Irish side, and a lot of people be like, that's kind of the same thing, right? Like, it's absolutely not the same thing. How dare you say it's the same thing? But we have a you know, sometimes I want to talk about this. I want everyone's, you know, thoughts in the chat and the comments as well. As you know, sometimes you watch something and something can seem great, and then you'll see something else and you realize that thing that once was great is what we call exposed. Oh. And I don't think you can get exposed in one sitting. But when it happens once and it happens again, it happens again, it happens again. Flobo, today, I believe American audiences were exposed. American audiences, garbage.
What?
Trash. I mean, every single other country on God's green earth comes and just brings the noise. And our biggest cities, we're like, what? What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
America, yeah. Our crowds, we have been exposed.
First of all, you had the PLE in Scotland. You started with I Believe and didn't end with Joe Hendry. So that was a missed opportunity. And second of all, look, we just have a different cultural thing. Scotland gets a pay-per-view once every ever. I think it's like the first one like 15 years. Of course they're going to go full tilt in there. You can't really compare because they're in the U.S. all the time.
Yeah, well, it doesn't mean we're not exposed. I mean, it doesn't mean we're not. I mean, you know, greats play every week, but they still got to show up. We don't show up. We're quiet. We sit on our hands. We say what? We step all over promos. We're a bad crowd. I think I look at these other countries. To your point, they never go there. These are all rookie fans. They don't know what they're doing. First time they've been to a WWE event. They're rookies. They've never been here before, but they are acting like absolute professionals. The best fans you could look for, whether it be in France or Scotland or Puerto Rico or Australia. I mean, we're getting beat up by all comers, Flobo. This is terrible.
So I think my theory is not so much that like everyone's better and we suck. I still think that there is still kind of a sheepish element to being a wrestling fan. Either you with your friends, you go, hey, do you like wrestling? They're like, oh, I did when I was a kid. And we kind of see if you still do. And there's always that like sussing out period. And plus when we go to a show, it's kind of like he wants to be the funniest guy in the room by starting your own chant or saying this person sucks when everyone's cheering for them. I think the hive mind just exists in Europe. And that's just a cultural thing. We can't get any better or worse, Jack. It's just a different flavor. It isn't strawberry ice cream sucks. Cookie dough ice cream is better. Although it could be. It's just two different expressions of what ice cream could be.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, our country is divided now more than ever. And during this election season, I want us to come together for the common good of bringing pride back to our audience experience, pride back to our crowds and our groups, and be better about being loud, be better about bringing the energy. Even the "This is awesome" chants had more energy to them. They trounced us, Flobo.
Okay.
I'm about to start using the metric system. They win. They won.
Wait, hold on.
George Washington.
You can't ask us to come together and use that metric system. What kind of despot are you, sir? You don't get my vote. Good day. But what do you want, Jack? Do you want to train American audiences, have them go into a waiting room like a Universal Studios ride and says, please do not eat in the next following show? Come on, man. This is the way we are.
Yeah, I think we should. I think we should get on a giant Zoom call, all of us together, and figure out how to be better audiences. We need to figure this out because
I'm not paying for that.
Again, it's not like okay, Puerto Rico is great, and then we're back to everyone. Okay, it happened once or whatever. Every single other country just embarrasses our audiences, our best audiences. Because some people are like, well, this audience is pretty good. Nope, doesn't stand up to France. Doesn't stand up to Scotland. Doesn't stand up to Puerto Rico. Sorry.
Well, look, Philadelphia gets a dozen shows a year. Chicago gets a billion shows a year. If you're going to give a town that kind of rub of going that often, I bet the next Scottish show, if they did a monthly event in Scotland, won't be as hot as this one. And France as well.
Yeah, Dylan says, Jack's about to announce people in kilograms. You're right, because the metric system makes more sense.
Oh, boo. It's a heel promo, y'all. The metric system makes more sense. How can freezing and boiling only have 100 different divisions in between them? That's not accurate at all. Fahrenheit. Fahrenheit. No, the world isn't
Fahrenheit.
Perfect. The world isn't perfect, okay? I'm gonna get canceled
on the science wrestling promo podcast. I wish I was smarter. I'd be able to argue better here, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, I got a B in that class. That's fine. Make some stuff
Shields,
up. I agree.
You're actually kind of lucky. You're a little late, Ed. It was really just us railing against things like the American measurement system. Lots of stuff happened today, though. But I do want to, of course, say thank you to everyone who's joining us here on a weekend, on a Saturday after the PLEs. Again, as a lot of you know, we decided to take a little break here at Wrestling Inc. from doing the PLEs because we weren't sure about the kind of turnouts we'd have. But everyone said, guys, Wrestling Inc., please bring back those shows. We love them. We want to see them. And so you guys showed up. You're here. We appreciate you. In fact, I want to give a shout out to everyone who's here, whether it be Daniel Berry, Kerry Johnson, James Winter, Tut Graff, John Johnson saying weekend post show. Thanks, guys. Swerve Show's here. Dylan Matthews.
Swerve's here?
Swerve Show.
Oh.
Brianne Milligan.
Like, dang. So,
by the way, I'm sure Swerve Show swerves when they drive also.
Okay.
Of course, we got Robert Ocha in the chat and Tut Graff and Chill McToker, by the way, saying just walking out of Hydro, tuning in. What a screw job. We'll talk about the Scotland screw job in just a little bit.
There was no screw job tonight. What do you mean?
Well, we'll talk about that. Maestro Dog, Casey J, Stephen Camp, Ed Shields, Ricky Sinclair, Flobo Nye, the scientific wrestling guy.
I guess it's science, like the most like unsure.
I guess maybe it is. Secular Belt said everyone needs to watch the Nate Bergazzi. Is it Bergazzi? I never know if I'm saying it right. SNL sketch Bergazzi on measurement. It is actually a very fun segment. I recommend it. Jerome the Choice says, I'm back and lurking. Always shout out to our lurkers. Again, everyone like, comment, share, subscribe. Give us a little comment. Even if you're in the chat once the show's done, do us a favor. Leave a little comment in there. It's like an SEO thing. It just helps us out. I always try to get in there and reply to comments when appropriate. I know, Flobo, you do as well, mostly because you hate Final Testament, but that's a whole other
thing. Oh, yeah, apparently. Yeah, I talk about them all the time. Confirmed.
How's it going, Marvin? Glad you're here. Let's get into the show. This was a show that I think we went into feeling like it was pretty predictable, but found a way to be very exciting at the same time. We start with the by the way, we gotta start with this. Dylan Matthews with the super chat. Jack's about to make his toilet flush the other way. I will find the science to make it work, because I bet that toilet will be a better audience than the toilet I currently have.
He cannot invert gravity or be the other side of the world there, Dylan. That's not how that works.
No one tells me I can't do something.
Fair enough, anymore. Fair enough. That is a heel. That's what a heel would say.
Julian Floyd out of the Hydro. Hey, let me if you guys were there, let me know who got some of the biggest pops, biggest reactions, thoughts on the crowd at the end. That will obviously be very interesting to see. If you guys were there, let me know how that all felt in the arena. I want to start, though, obviously, the undisputed WWE Championship I Quit match, Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles. Cody bleeds. He passes out. He gets handcuffs. He gets walloped by a chair. Cody's mom gets involved. Eventually, Cody handcuffs AJ and almost beats him with stairs, but AJ quits and Cody wins. Then AJ hits him, or then he hits AJ for good measure. After that, Solo Sikoa stares down Cody and gets jumped by the Bloodline, but Orton and KO come out to make the save. A lot of stuff happened here. Flobo, overall, just give me your overall thoughts. What did you think of this one?
Of the match or the entire segment in total?
Let's start with the match.
Yeah, the match right there was pretty solid, man. I was telling you this in our chat beforehand. Like, it was just so over the top, and I loved it. When you have I Quit matches, I'm glad they're bringing them back, because I was a bit burnt out of Last Man Standing matches, which is kind of the similar thing, but they're different rules. So I love this one. I love the fact that AJ was, like, seemingly mic'd up, because everything he said was like a Deadpool ad-lib. It just popped me left and right. And Cody is really becoming the babyface champ that maybe guys like our age, of course you are way younger than I am, but guys our age may go, ah, that's kind of clean or squeaky clean, but these are the kind of characters that kids grow up with and go, I want to be someone that overcomes seemingly impossible odds, like a Cena, like a Hogan before them, or Stone Cold in our age, or at least my age. So I loved it. Hit all the marks. It was fine. Bloodline didn't need to be there. I think all it did was call into the attention of the fact that there was no Bloodline there, but the match itself was pretty solid.
I love the match. I agree with you. I think, one, the crowd obviously really made this match. I think they were loud the entire time. And AJ really made this match for me. I thought that I think that they need to actually have a mic on him in every match going forward. His comments were incredible. The one, we got a bleeder, was hilarious.
We got a bleeder!
I thought the timing of him, of commentary saying, uh-oh, we know it's usually in those bags. And I'm going, I know what you think's in the bag. It's something different. And it was like, right. How did you know? You timed that perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was absolutely fantastic. And I loved the end with Cody hitting him with the steel steps. Because you talk about the kind of person we view him as. I think that added just a little bit of that edge to him, attacking after the bell, to say that he is a good guy, but he's also someone you don't cross. He's not just I'm always going to do what's right no matter what. But like, he's like, right. Look, man, you mess with me, you're going to pay the price for that.
So I agree with you. I think it was the best move for Cody, but I have to offer you this. I know we can't compare the two because there's different mediums and different rules, but I remember the movie Man of Steel and how that ended, spoiler alert, with Superman snapping the neck of Zod. And the people were saying, oh man, Superman would never do that. But I also felt like the intent was there too. Like, hey, look, you have to know where I can go, what's too much power, how I am being pushed until you pull that back. So will people hate that steel step toss, or it's all in good fun, you think?
I think it's great. I think it's good. I know what you're saying. I remember that match, or that match, that movie.
That match, you went over, bro.
Dude, I need to get out of the house. but I do remember people being upset about that. But I agree. I think this is what separates him from a Superman, in that, yeah, he's got a little bit of that edge to him. Because I think if he doesn't get that edge, he's going to start becoming that John Cena, that we start to go, okay, you're corny, you're always the good guy. But this gives him a little bit of that edge. So we're like, okay, you're cool. We're with you a little bit here.
Is Cody cool to you?
I like him. I think he's great. I think he's the best. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Cody Rhodes. Big time.
I told this for a long time. I thought Stardust was fun. I wasn't a Cody fan for a long time, but it was Mama Rhodes, man. Mama Rhodes makes it all make sense. I'm all on board now. Whoa.
No. See, this is where I'm upset that you're saying this, Flobo.
Why?
And usually I try not to. I try not to talk about this kind of stuff.
You never try at all anything. You can just do it once and give up.
You're right. It's all just natural.
You're such a heel, I swear to God. No, what is
no, this is, listen. I don't want to talk about this because it's going to get a storm of comments here, and okay. Everyone, I hope that you're okay with this, but I want to talk about tribalism.
Okay, in wrestling?
In wrestling, yeah.
Dope.
Because I don't want to compare companies because people always, but I have to. Mm-hmm. Cody's mom gets involved, and everyone's like, oh, this is great. But on the other side, when Judy Bagwell gets involved in WCW, everyone thinks it's terrible.
Okay, because Judy Bagwell was on a pole, man. There was actually a match where she was suspended from the corner of the ring.
I don't think it's fair. You can't like one and not like the other without being tribalistic, Flobo. What's with this tribalistic stuff going on? WCW did it, and they got hit, they got made fun of.
Everyone loves Buffett's stuff because his theme song was amazing. What? And second of all, no one asked for Judy Bagwell at all, okay? Let's be real.
So, speaking of me being much younger than you, yeah.
Fair. You outed yourself. That's what you did with your metric system loving.
Perfect. WCW.
Judy Bagwell.
No, if you were there, you know that Tuck Craft says, I can like both moms. And I don't know if I added the moms part. I added the moms part. Just said I
Jack
like
Jack Farman
both,
just said, I can like both moms. Clip it out. Put it on social. It's official.
I can like both of them. I was kind of bummed out as I was watching this that we're in Scotland. And obviously the crowd loves Scotland. And everyone who was there, you can comment. Everyone loved Cody Rhodes. I was hoping that Scotland would start a USA, USA chant for the red, white, and blue Cody Rhodes.
They'll do that over like French, right? But it'd be kind of random if Scotland was like, you know what? Let's just pick some random country from halfway across the pond. But if they did that, though, you would gloat so hard.
So I would have loved it. Now, I got a question for you. This is actually a question you posed to me, but I'm spinning it back on you publicly.
Hey, man.
Does Cody Rhodes, and this is actually for everyone in the chat. I want your thoughts as well on this. Does Cody Rhodes have a patriotic character?
See, I'm debating that because I want to say no. He's the American nightmare because his dad was the American dream, and he's dressed like Homelander, which is not patriotic at all. If you ever watch The Boys, I'm not sure how old our viewers are. But at the same time,
God, I hope they're old.
Yeah, I hope they're 18. Don't watch The Boys. Oh, yeah, for real. We're a bunch of old geezers. But like at the same time, if you take a picture of Cody and put him on the production truck, he looks American AF. So I don't know. I want to say no, but I'm not sure anymore.
I'd love to ask Cody Rhodes that and be like, hey, are you patriotic? And have him just say, oh, yeah, red, white, and blue. Never noticed.
Yeah.
I guess it is
Eagle
kind of
shoulder
American.
Cuffs. Yeah, all right. No, yeah.
I guess there is kind of an American thing to it. Never noticed.
There's stars and stripes. How about that?
Kind of crazy. So one thing that I did not like about this match. And I tweeted about it, and I got everyone explaining the rules to me repeatedly on Twitter, even though I completely know the rules. I was a little upset about how Cody Rhodes passed out and AJ Styles didn't get a win.
Right.
I understand the rules. You got to say I quit. I get the rules, everybody. You don't need to explain the rules. You have to say right. I quit. But like, right. I feel like it's silly to me that, and by the way, Ed Shields, I see your comment. You actually had mentioned. So tell me, if a guy dies without saying I quit, does that mean the match never ends? I literally thought the same thing myself. At a point, like, he beat him up so bad,
right,
that he had to, AJ Styles had to wait for him to recover so okay. the match could continue.
Sure.
That's silly. That's silly to me.
The match
is great, but that moment to me was like weird.
I think you're wrong, but I want to answer Edge's question first, because that's actually a good question. Yeah, if the person cannot compete at all because they're dead, then yes, they are completely, they've quit life. So you're fine. But I think the whole point of
didn't say it. That doesn't count.
No, but I think if they have no soul in their bodies, then you cannot have a match. You cannot have a wrestling contest if someone is physically no longer on this plane or spiritually no longer on this plane. But when it comes to your scenario of him being passed out, no, it does not count, and it should continue to someone recovers, because the point of the match is having someone physically reconcile with them giving up. So if their body gives up, they're still in the contest. If not, you should do a last man standing match or a KO match or an underground match instead.
I mean, I guess I'm saying it from the way the match was put together. I don't know. It came off weird.
Like, it makes him look weak. Yeah.
It looked like AJ Styles beat him up so bad he completely knocked him unconscious and then had to literally wait so he could wake up and get back going again. To me, it didn't come off like Cody's a tough guy fighting through. It came off like, man, you just absolutely got beat up. This should be, theoretically, if this was any other match type, and I know that's the whole point of the match. Again, I know the rules. I'm not saying he should have won, like the ref made a bad call. I'm saying, if that happened, right. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
I understand. I understand what you're saying. That if someone if their body physically quits on them, that should count as a quitting of the match. And I understand. There is a rationale to that, but I do think that it shouldn't have happened at all, because now we have this discussion here. I do think there's something different than saying, I give up. I cannot anymore.
Again, I'm not saying that the ref should have actually stopped the match. I'm just saying visibly, it's kind of like, I guess I go back to, it's kind of the opposite, but I go back to like the Fiend in the Hell in a Cell, mm-hmm. where it was, he stopped the match. And it was like, no, if that happens, then that's when, Seth Rollins should have covered him or pinned him.
Do not reference one of the worst endings of a wrestling match in the past decade. It was 2019's Hell in a Cell. And you know that, because that's supposed to be pinfall to a finish or submission to a finish, and it is a referee stoppage. That was like a total outlier.
It's I'm just trying to think of another one that was, it came off weird. The ending came off weird, even though technically the ref can end the match. That's not technically wrong, but it just seemed weird.
I'm with you. I just feel like that it happened, so I have to defend my boy, because he looked pretty weak.
Fernando said, when Stone Cold passed out, it counted as I quit.
It wasn't an I quit match, though. That's the difference. If it's a submission match, yes, he submitted. He tap, nap, or snap. But the point of an I quit match is saying, holy crap, this is too much pain. Like when Judgment Day was fighting Edge and he saw Beth was getting attacked, going, I quit to spare my wife. That's the whole point of it, is to be like, I was weak by saying, not by.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, that's the reason I highlighted it. I couldn't remember. I was like, was that an I quit match? I was starting to second guess myself, but mm-hmm. you're right. I get it. Like, that's, you have to say I quit. That's the whole point of it. I will say I love I quit matches, because it's fun to see how they're going to get the I quit out of people. In fact, I was thinking it'd be funny to do a build up, because ever since The Rock got his win over Mankind with the pre-recorded I quit, I see it'd be fun building up to an I quit match where no one wants to say it in the promo. It's like,
oh yeah,
when I beat you in that match we're having,
you saw some wagging the finger. You
know? No, I'm not saying it.
Oh man, with AI, why not?
Yeah. That'd actually be kind of funny if they AI'd it. But so let me know what your guys' overall thoughts on the match. That said, it's a nitpick. I think the match was great. I actually thought it was probably my favorite match of the night as far as a match goes.
Whoa!
I loved it. I thought they were great. I love I Quit matches because it's always fun to see how they figure out how they're going to get the I Quit to happen. I think that's what makes them really exciting, too, because other matches, like Last Man Standing matches, they just hit them a bunch of times and eventually they don't get up. But I Quit, I feel like you have to be really smart how you're going to make it happen. Mm-hmm.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Complete your staining project with Pittsburgh Paints and Stains now at Menards. Stain in one coat with Ultra Advanced Semi-Transparent Stain. It's a stain and sealant in one that can be applied to damp wood and on hot, sunny days, allowing you to clean and stain your deck in one day. Save big money on Pittsburgh Paints and Stains and head into Menards to get your staining project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
But we move on to the Women's Tag Team Championship match. And this one, I think, surprised a lot of people. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill versus Alba Fire and Isla Dawn and versus Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. Flobo, I don't even have a lot of notes here. I just say Isla Dawn and Alba Fire, they got the win in a shocker.
Yeah, I mean, shocked in two different ways. One, I think almost everyone in their prediction had Bianca and Jade retaining. They were. I was told when they were a tag team that they were going to build up a division. It's going to be a long-term thing. Who's going to take them off of them? So that was the first shock, that the fact that we had a new championship in there. But also, Isla Dawn and Alba Fire, leading up to this match, hadn't been on TV all that much. And so we kind of thought that they would be the third team in this third team contest. But not only did they win, they pinned the most tenured wrestler on the roster in the match in Shayna Baszler. What a statement there. Congratulations all around.
I'm really happy for them winning. Dylan Matthews said he had them winning, so great prediction.
Are they witches again? I don't know. Are they just...
I feel like that's one of those words you can't just throw around at somebody.
You witch! Whoa!
You might get in trouble for saying that. But we famously covered NXT UK on Draped in Gold, which still airs every Wednesday morning. And so we are big fans of NXT UK alumni, and they obviously are big, big members of that roster from the past. Alba Fire, the forever champion, was incredible over there. So it was really cool to see them get the win. I'm really happy they got the win, and especially because from what I understand, Alba Fire had a pretty tough week and experienced a pretty heavy loss earlier this week. So really cool that she got to have this great moment. I think she deserves the moment regardless of the town they were in or whatever happened this week. But it's really cool to see them get the win. And in a way, I think it's good, and this is going to be where everyone gets mad at me. I think it's good Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill are no longer the champions.
Why would they get mad at you for saying that?
Because everyone loves that team. Everyone loves that team. But I think, and maybe we'll agree here, they're just unstoppable. I don't think there's anyone that I can match them up with where I'm like, it doesn't look unfair. So I think it's good that they're no longer the champs, because otherwise I feel like that division is kind of held hostage because of their set stars. I think they're just two biggest stars to be there, if that makes sense.
I'm with you, but for a slightly different reason. I know when they got the title, I had my reservations, and I was told, hey man, these will be the torchbearers for the whole division. It's going to be this whole big thing. And thankfully the women's tag division is a lot more activity there. So there is progress. It's kind of small, but I'd be lying if I said it wasn't better now than it was a year ago. But Jade and Bianca never felt like a cohesive unit. Yeah, they posed together, they had some tandem things, but it always felt like, oh, the multiple women's champion Bianca Belair and the physical specimen, but fairly new Jade Cargill, are doing this side quest. And so now I want to know, are they going to get the titles back, or are they going to go their separate ways? I think that's going to be the real story.
Marvin saying, Bianca and Jade have only had a month of reign. Corey Pride saying, I'm ridiculous. And in fact, Pride earlier asked a super chat, how long before Jade and Bianca are champs again? I don't know. Again, I don't know. I don't know if that division is strong enough to have them. To me, it felt like when Triple H and Stone Cold were the tag team champs. Like, who's beating that team? It's a similar situation I felt like that Jade Cargill had when she was in AEW. And I felt like she was just too, like when she was the champ, like who's beating Jade Cargill? Like who's beating this person? And so I don't think that division's strong enough to support a team of that star power up top, if that makes sense. I think you need a workhorse team that can have lots of different rivalries and matches that are close to build interest instead of a Road Warrior-esque team like they channeled tonight. That's just steamrolling people. Because you're never going to build a division if there's steamrolling everybody.
I feel like to answer Corey's prize question, because he did super chat and called me ridiculous. Why'd you put that up on the screen?
I might just leave that one up.
Have to do that. That's kind of overkill. But look, you can either do the whole hot potato back, which is what used to be the case when it comes to things like this, or just say, hey, look, it's a new day. We got the exposure. Let's build a real division of more parity with more teams. Have Jade and Bianca do other things.
Yeah. So I don't know if they'll be champs again anytime soon. I think they're just two big individual stars. I think they're going to be in singles championship matches sooner rather than later before they go back to tag teaming again. I mean, they may have a rematch. It's predicted by Maestro that they'll get them back on Friday.
Wow.
I don't know about that, but I think visually they're a fantastic team. Like I said, like seriously, like go through the list and think about who on that team, what tag team do you think could beat them? Chelsea and Piper ain't beating them on their own. I don't think Alba and Isla Dawn are beating them on their own, like straight up one-on-one. I don't know any tag team. Katana Chance and Caden Carter, like, no way. Who's beating them in a one-on-one match? I don't think you can. I think you need to build up these teams before you can have a team that big on top. I think they're fantastic. They're great visually. It's an incredible look. Right now, I think they should be separate. That's my opinion.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I'm trying to think on both women's rosters who I could even cobble together on a match post, and I'll make me go, oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, even if Tiffany Stratton is one half of a team, I go, no, I'm pretty sure Jade can fold her up like a cartoon trash heap and toss her somewhere. So,
yeah, Donde saying, unless you pair two single stars like them, I think it's the only way. Chill said, I cried when our girls won it. That's awesome to hear. I love that. I do want to go back. We got a chat from Jimmy Corderas, the best ref in the business, weighing in on the I Quit match. Says, ref should appear conflicted, not oversell it, make the call not to ring the bell, then AJ argues with the ref. I like that. I like that as a point as well. That's it. Again, I know the rules. I know that he shouldn't actually have called for it. I didn't like the visual.
The fact that we have a referee on staff is pretty chill. That's kind of awesome.
A referee, by the way.
The referee.
Not just any referee. Future Hall of Famer, Jimmy Corderas.
Yeah.
Little DeWatt saying, still felt like they dropped it too quickly.
That I agree with.
Shines twice as bright burns half as long.
Wow. Do you want to give him philosophy in the middle of a review show, man?
Charlotte and Tiffany Stratton. That's the team.
That's awful. Stop doing that. My Astro. No.
We move on to the Intercontinental Championship match. Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable. Maxine gets hit and Otis considers what to do before taking her to the back. And while Chad is worked up about it, Sami gets the win. Flobo, walk me through it.
All right. So I've been told that I don't like anything in wrestling. So I'm trying to be as positive as I can in this one. The Intercontinental. What do you mean? I love it.
You're a hater.
No, maybe of MGF. I'm just kidding. Not really. Okay. So what I liked the fact that this was a personal story. I liked the fact that Alpha Academy seems to be ripe for a personnel change. I liked the fact that Chad Gable seems to be getting better and better. And this match gave us something we wanted in this pay-per-view. PLE, and that we got some good old-fashioned grappling. You know what I mean? All the snapmares you can shake a snapmare stick at or whatever. So it was pretty cool. It was pretty solid. Sami Zayn is over. Ed Shields, I am not a hater. I think I am a lover of all things professional wrestling. It was a solid match for those of us who like our wrestling straight up. And also, if you didn't, you can always say, you know, take a time to relax or break or whatever. But that said, Sami Zayn's going to have to get an opponent sooner than later because I don't think you can run back him and Chad again.
Yeah, this feels like Chad and Sammy has to be done. I know they had the long stare down at the end, but I don't know if you can do round, would it be four now at this point?
It'd be four. Marvin, I loved it, by the way. Marvin's like, I'm not a hate them. I love the match. It's, okay, full disclosure, I don't like ska that much. So when the music hits for Sammy, I go, oh.
How dare you?
Hey, I got to be honest with the fans. I'm
calling the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones right now.
Not the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. but the match itself was great.
Marvin, how many great late 90s references can
I make? Oh, no, Real Big Fish is on the phone with me right now. So, no, the match was great. I loved it. It was a straight-up wrestling match. I enjoyed it.
Dylan says Chad needed the win. Ed says Otis needs to finish this. Ashley's laughing at our ska reference. Yeah. Ed says I'm not a fan of ska either.
See? Ed gets it.
We start off by going up against the measurement systems of America.
Right.
Then we take on ska. What other defenseless medium are we going to attack
next? I'm the voice of the voiceless, Jack.
AM radio.
Super kicks.
This one, Sammy is obviously a huge, huge star as far as popularity. People love him. I get why he got the win here. This one did feel... The match quality was insane. I love the match quality.
Oh, yeah.
This did feel a bit like an extension of Raw, though, because I feel like we've seen so many of these, you know, Sami Zayn, like, Otis, you need to leave. Am I going to turn? Am I not going to turn? You need to leave. Am I going to turn? Am I not going to turn? Feels like we've been stuck kind of in the same loop for a little bit. And so I was hoping that Otis would have actually done something tonight.
Right.
To take that next step. That said, it's fun. I'm loving it. This match actually felt more about Gable and Otis than it did about the championship.
Yeah, and I understand it's a cool way to not have Sammy's run try to be a photocopy of Gunther's run of being like, I'm just dominant and still give him the wins of the Intercontinental Championship. But now you mention it, you're right. I feel like the teasings have been going on for a month. There was some progression, but not enough. It kind of takes me back to the Attitude Era where you had like just a little bit of story on Monday and Friday because the shows were basically doubled. So like the stories didn't move that much week to week. But that said, there are some rumors swirling about Monday being a very, very important episode of Raw. And hopefully it will get some clarity the next chapter for all these men and Maxine.
Can you explain to me why everyone's cheering for Otis? Everyone seems to want Otis to break away. They look at him as like the hero of Alpha Academy, the one who's kind of helping to lead the rest of the group away from Chad Gable. But clearly Akira Tozawa is a step ahead. Already stepped away, didn't even make the trip. He's like, look, I'm a free thinker. I don't need to be a part of this. I'm moving on. No, why is Akira Tozawa getting so much disrespect?
I don't know how much Akira Tozawa is paying you, but for years you have been on this guy's bandwagon, man. Maybe he just couldn't make the trip. Maybe it wasn't worth it to be yelled at halfway across the pond.
I mean, Ed Shields, he's saying the same thing. Where was Tozawa? Tozawa was like, listen, I don't need to listen to Sami Zayn anymore. I can see what's going on. I don't need to be here. And Marvin's even saying Akira was ready. Yes, he was ready. Like, he didn't need, he's like, look, I'm done with you. I've learned. I'm better. I've already grown past it. I don't need to deal with this. Probably, they probably didn't get a view of it. He's probably like, listen, Otis, Maxine, I'm not going to be there because this guy's a nutcase. Whatever, you know? I mean, maybe on Monday he'll be back because he feels bad for these two because they haven't gotten the memo yet. But Akira Tozawa, clearly the leader.
I'm going to walk into Wrestling Inc.'s office if I find out where it is and say, I'm not going to do a show. There's going to be all this Akira propaganda week in and week out. He didn't show up to work. Why would we praise this guy? He didn't even come.
Wrestling Inc.'s office is actually on a meteor that orbits the Earth.
It's a moving target.
It orbits the Earth, so you can't find it if you ever need to get there. It's right next to Magneto's, that's floating around. So it looks like a lot of people are guessing Sami versus Braun Breaker. Shield says the Inc. office is in VR.
Makes sense.
A lot of people are saying like Sami's next opponent, but a lot of people are also noting that the Wyatt family, the Uncle Howdy, the VR codes always seem to pop up during Sami Zayn moments, and it did so tonight. Do you think we're going to see Sami versus Howdy?
You know what? I don't want to say that yes or no, but the patterns of the QR codes are on Friday Night SmackDown too, and it's like, I don't know what the deal is. Raw looks like it's going to be the landing spot for the Wyatt Six, but I would hesitate to see when exactly it's going to show up. It could be the end of the night sort of thing. It could be in the beginning. It could be in the back for another 6 weeks and have more codes. It's so hard to pin down. I know it's a cop-out answer, but I do not know where to start when it comes to this stuff.
Well, Killer Demon saying Sami versus Joe Gacy. You know, I want them to appear just already. I just want them to appear already.
I'm great.
I feel like I'm ready. I'm ready for this. We've been having these teases forever. I am ready for whatever iteration it to be to just show up. I know this is fun, but I feel like it's getting to that Veer is coming. It's getting to that Liv Morgan when she had the video packages for a long time.
And Melina.
I'm ready. I'm ready for them to just get here already.
Yeah, I'm with you. I feel like this reminds me of, this is, again, dating myself, Lauryn Hill, going to a Lauryn Hill concert that starts at 8 o'clock, but she gets on stage at 11:30. And it was like, lady, your fans need chairs. And we need back cream. What are we doing? So, yes, there's a certain arc where it's like, pull the trigger. I'm there now with you. Hopefully Monday we get some real answers, not more codes.
So, Lauryn Hill, Ska,
Lauryn Hill, the metric system.
You know what I can't stand is Y2K.
Yeah, finally, someone's saying it.
someone has the guts to call out Y2K.
It's like, it happened.
But yeah, I am very ready for this to happen. I'm very ready for it to make their debut and be whatever it is they're going to be. WWE Women's Championship match, Bayley versus Piper Niven. Chelsea quickly gets herself disqualified. A mysterious woman in a mask shows up and tries to get involved. Doesn't help. It's a good one. Bayley retains. Thoughts?
Wait, a mysterious woman?
You're right. I don't know. It could have been male, female. I don't know.
There was no mystery at all. It was Chelsea Green in a mask. It was literally Chelsea Green in a mask.
Looked like Rey Mysterio, if you ask me.
Rey Mysterio is actually not that tall.
Have you seen Rey Mysterio's mask? Looks just like his.
All right. Put that aside.
Give me pictures of the Spider-Man.
Jack Jameson. Okay, so the match itself was great. I think Bayley looked, it was one of her best performances since the ACL injury of a couple of years ago. It was complete. It made Piper was a star. She was a star-making performance for Piper. Bayley looked toyetic. The match itself told a decent story. So many elbow drops. I love elbow drops. Kairi Sane, bring back the elbow drop, please. But here's the thing. And I wonder if this is an issue I saw or that anyone else see. There are a lot of Scottish performers that had a homecoming there, and Piper Niven was one of them. And she got hyped when they mentioned her name. But that walk to the ring had a little bit of hesitation to it. I'm thinking maybe Bayley found a way to exploit that. It didn't seem like it was going to be a foregone conclusion for a coronation. It felt like she was playing scared.
Yeah, it's definitely possible. It would have been nice to have seen Piper get the win in her hometown. Again, another NXT UK alumna that big fans of. But I want your thoughts on this. I want to peel back the curtain a little bit, give a little personal information about you.
Oh,
Bayley is one of your all-time favorites.
Yes, she is my – well, no, Sheamus is back, but she would be my favorite wrestler on the WWE roster right now, period, full stop.
Oh, so you're still – you still feel like she's your favorite right now, like on TV right now. Talk to me about her. Why?
Okay, so the current iteration of Bayley has a bit of a pastiche of her past characters. So there's a little bit of the ding dong hello. There's a little bit of the role model stuff. There's a little bit of the, not the hugging, but like being receptive to her praise, which is pretty cool. But ultimately, she's definitely a minority character, ideally, that never has to lean into being a stereotype. But that aside, what I think what makes Bayley so great is that she is very adaptable for any kind of person she works with. Almost like Sasha Banks when Sasha was in WWE, when she has a super heavyweight like a Piper Niven, eventually a Nia Jax, it seems pretty even. When she's fighting someone like a Zelina Vega who's half her size, it seems pretty even. And that is invaluable on a roster where many performers don't have that ability. She isn't as fast as she used to be. She doesn't have the conditioning she used to be. But when it comes down to building a division, making new stars, and still being a star yourself, Bayley's number one draft pick every day of the week.
Do you think Bayley is, by the way, I'm a huge fan of Bayley myself. You're very eloquent in being able to explain the people you are fans of, even though you're known as a hater. So I'd like to give you the chance to explain that. Do you think Bayley has entered her legend era in the sense that, like, once legends get to a certain place, like Randy Orton's Randy Orton. He's not necessarily a gimmick or a character or a thing. He's just, you're them. Is Bayley kind of in that phase now where it's like, look, Bayley's Bayley. She's not going to be a character or a gimmick anymore.
It's a good question. I think she's approaching that arc, but not quite yet, right? She's in this almost, she's a baby face now, but they still have that unresolved conflict with Bianca. There could be one more twist or turn on that. I think going to these international shows is pushing her into that, like, yeah, you're just yourself now with a chance and all that. But if we were with our American lame audiences, I do think she would be kind of underappreciated for another 3 or 4 or 5 years until we start giving her base flowers, like compare her to, say, The Miz, right? The Miz was right in that zone, before that zone, for a long time in his career. And only the past 12, maybe 18 months, people have coming around and saying, oh, you know what? This is actually a pretty good IC champ, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I think Bayley is really, I think it's unfortunate for, she's one of the most highly rated, underrated wrestlers, I think, in WWE. In that, I think everyone likes her. Everyone thinks she's great, but I think she's way better than we even give her credit for, and way more important than we give her credit for.
Yeah. She had two things that work against her. I'll start to pile on. Yeah. I gotta get about Bayley all day, y'all. Her character was a hugger for too long. I didn't like the change when it happened, but looking back, the direction of wrestling with Ronda Rousey and the more tougher edge, the man, didn't compute with the hugging thing. So when she changed, it was important, but it was kind of late. And two, her best work was in front of a crowd of zero. She could still pull on that I hate Michael Cole stuff, but she carried 20-minute segments during the pandemic in front of nobody. I don't think people realize how difficult that is. And when they were going back on the road where she can get those flowers, she had the ACL injury. So it's just a bad timing for her. That's why I think a lot of people haven't come around to Bayley, but they will. And I'm hoping they do, because she's that good.
I relate her a lot to Triple H in the way that, you know, when a lot of people look back at some of the greats, they think of, you know, like a Stone Cold, The Rock. I always rate Triple H really high because I feel like without him, they wouldn't have had someone to work against that would have helped make them look as good as they did, not just in the ring, but visually, the way he was able to bounce back in promos and things like that. And I feel like Bayley, one of her strengths is, to your point, no matter who she's against, it feels like this is a big matchup. And it doesn't matter how good the other person is on the mic, in the ring, whatever. She helps make that feel like a legitimate matchup. I always feel like Triple H did that for those other guys. And so that's where I compare the two.
I feel every wrestling fan has two or three people that they didn't really care for when they wrestled actively, that when they retired, you're like, oh man, why didn't I appreciate them? Like for me, it was Booker T. Booker T was a guy I was like, okay, whatever. Shawn Mel, but like looking back at his match, I was like, what the heck was I doing? Watching Judy Bagwell? Like, I gotta focus, man. Like,
how dare you talk about Judy Bagwell?
You know what I mean? Like, it's so, I hope people feel that way about Bayley too, because she's just so good, man. She does the little things that matter.
Yeah, yeah. Judy Bagwell getting a lot of shout-outs tonight.
My work here is done.
So let's get into this main event. This is what I think everyone really wanted to see here. And we got a lot of people saying, like Marvin says, I'm really there for the build-up to Bayley versus Nia. Their rivalry dates back from NXT when Bayley was champion and Nia just a rookie. So that will be interesting. It'll also be interesting in this day and age because we actually – like care about NXT history now on main roster. Yeah. So they'll be able to bring that back.
And Nia Jax.
And Ed Shield says, you are right. Flobo Booker is such a great wrestler. Booker's one of my top 10 all time favorites, by the way, which we documented one time on another show. As a WCW fan, I always said he was one of my favorites because I got to see him go from tag team to TV champ to US champ to world champ. Like getting to watch that growth is so cool as a wrestling fan, and because frankly in WCW they always had these are the top guys. I'm sure if you're watching the Who Killed WCW, you can see how that was set up. It's very hard to break through, and so to watch him breaking through was like really fun as a fan to watch.
As a fan of the Misfits in action, I like the Booker's GI bro phrase, but everyone goes, that's his worst iteration. Like, I didn't know. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Misfits in action. Yeah. Booker ain't no Lance Storm, of course, their rival, you know, Team Canada. The real greatest tag team in the history of Lance Storm. For those of you who aren't on the video, I got a photo of him signed to yours truly.
You walked around with that for weeks at work.
I did. I almost got a Flava Flav. God, the old references. The Flava Flav chain with that on there.
No.
Ricky said G.I. Bro.
G.I. Bro, yeah. Misfits.
So let's get this world championship match. I want everyone's thoughts on this one. We're going to throw around a bunch of these. Dylan, by the way, said put Judy Bagwell in the Hall of Fame.
She should be.
Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre in what was a banger. Ref gets knocked out. A new official comes out, and it's CM Punk. He kicks Drew right in the testicles and allows Priest to get the win.
Why'd you say it like that?
That's
what they are, but okay, go ahead.
So this one, I want to know, Flobo, your thoughts on how this went out. Obviously, it felt like this was kind of a play a lot of people predicted, but that also doesn't mean it was the wrong call. What did you think about how this went?
Well, on paper, because Scotland's kind of the X factor, both men are antagonists. So you have to think something was going to change or something is going to be a third element in there. CM Punk appearing was kind of predictable. How he did wasn't. That slide in was almost, that was very cinematic of being like, who's his mass referee? It's Punk! Because I feel like that wouldn't have happened a generation ago. So it hits that mark. And even though the testicles shot was kind of egregious, you need a reason for Drew to take this personally. That said, Drew McIntyre goes to a second Clash of the Castle, a second pay-per-view in the United Kingdom. This one, only about 40 miles away where he's from in Ayrshire, and loses again. And I think that let the wind out of that arena today, where it's like, come on, when will Drew ever get his kind of like day of praise, his receipt, his flowers for holding down in the pandemic? But as they say, wrestling ain't ballet and life sucks.
We're getting a lot of comments in the chat here. Things like yam bags, testes, cojones. What do you call the testicles?
Oh, the boys. It's an old rock band. It's full beat doing the boys down there, baby. We hate Scott, too.
It's not a ska band.
It's not a ska band.
Oh, what kind of music is it, Flo?
Hey, it's a family show. We got to keep going.
Bagpipes.
Bagpipes, exactly.
Scotland, baby. The boys.
The boys.
Fernando says family jewels. And Ed Shields says hip hop.
I'll take that. Yeah. D12 is down there.
D12.
It's a hip hop band.
Ooh.
And Jim Cordero's the gimmicks. They're gonna have us banned, I swear.
Oh man. So this was I thought this was a really, really great match. And I gotta know, Jimmy Cordero's had a comment here a second ago. I lost it. Jimmy, I'm so sorry. You had a great comment and I lost it. I apologize. I don't know. This was a great matchup. I thought these guys absolutely killed it. I think that even though Drew didn't get the win, Scotland should be very proud of their native hero. That moment when Damian Priest got hung up in the ropes. This was incredible. This is how good Damian Priest is. I don't know if that was intentional or not. Didn't look intentional. But but here's the thing. Then he kept grabbing his leg. I don't know if he was selling or if he really hurt his leg. That whole thing, I hope he's okay. Hope it was. But like, I'm of two minds, Flo. Either he was just selling it and it was incredible selling,
right?
Or it was really hurt and he just gutted out an awesome match. Either way, round of applause for Damian Priest.
Yeah, round of applause for Damian Priest. He's definitely going to be an unsung champion when it's all said and done. I'm not sure either, to your point, whether it was an illegit injury or not, but I have to lean towards the latter because you used to take wrestling classes. Those cables are unfriendly. So even if it was a surface situation where just maybe a bruise or contused skin or something like that, it's still going to impact the way it is. So much so that Drew had to get involved to unhook him. Now, granted, they found a way of saying, oh, he's helping him out because he has to get the pin of victory, which was very smart for commentary and Drew McIntyre to bail him out. But the way that happened, how quickly that happened, I was thinking ankle. I was thinking MCL tear. I was thinking meniscus. I was thinking hip flexor. That could have been really bad tonight.
Yeah, it really could have. And but everyone involved, I mean, it's one thing when things are planned and it works out. You're like, oh, that's great. But like this, if it's an unplanned thing, everyone did that great. The way they like made sure he was okay, but then quick, like it was so quick. Are you okay? You are okay. Let's sell it and keep fighting and kicking you and beating you up. And then, like you said, the guys on commentary so smartly saying, well, he's got to get him back in the ring, and him getting him back in the ring just. That is, to me, like when you talk about pros and people who are really good, that is actually, to me, like that is as good as it gets. The people who can take those moments and make it, then made the match even better because of that moment. Because if you take that moment out, I think that moment added so much to the match instead of it being like oh, I can't believe that happened.
You're chopping a cigar when you're saying this. No, but I worry, though, about the psychological impact of that botch. And because if you're Damian Priest, you won the title with the Money in the Bank cash-in after Seth Rollins. Well, you beat McIntyre, but Seth Rollins was really the champion before you. And people are saying it's a step down. The IWC makes fun of your promos. They say things like bisexual Undertaker, and that's not my phrase, it's the phrase they use about him. And then on this big platform where you're in the true main event, you're not in the semi-main. Your title is actually the main event. You have that botch. I wonder that Priest is a professional to say that and say, hey, look, Goldfish memory, we start anew tomorrow. Or that something like that weighs on a performer when they have that huge spotlight under them.
I think he's been doing this for a while. I think he'll be okay. I agree with you. I hope that he is able to, though. And I hope he's not hurt. I hope it isn't a real injury, because it'd be a big shame to have things go this way and then have him have to not be able to continue. Tell me your thoughts on CM Punk and getting involved. I feel like CM Punk, Drew, people seem to be saying SummerSlam. This feels big, man. I feel like there's a way. If they could drag this out for as long as they can, this could be a Mania match. I mean, this is probably one of the biggest matches I think people are like, I want to pay money to see this set, like outside of Cody and Roman in a, and maybe then maybe then Sammy and Roman. Maybe like those are probably, you know what I mean? I'm sorry, I'm stumbling, but it's like, this is a match people want to see. CM Absolutely. Punk, Drew McIntyre, this is huge. And title implications be darned.
Be darned.
You're gonna get demonetized. Sorry for my language.
You're gonna get demonetized, Jack.
Double hockey sticks.
I think you hit the nail on the head. The match is definitely a Mania match. If I was booking Mania, then you'll definitely have CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, but it's a long wait a minute. I know we got to get into the habit, especially with Roman's run of being like, this Mania next year after that. But you got to give Saudi Arabia something. You got to give Canada something. You got to give War Games something. It's okay to run things back with stipulations, I think, but I wouldn't wait too long. Especially, and I hate to say this, I don't want to jinx anything, of CM Punk's history with his injury history as well. You don't want to say, okay, 13 months from now or 8 months from now, we're going to have a match, and then something goes awry. I would say SummerSlam because I'm a SummerSlam mark, but definitely Survivor Series is the first stop that makes sense if you did a long-term storyline.
Yeah, this one is I'm absolutely flabbergasted by how well they've done this and how well they've built this up. And it's proof that good storytelling, good promos are able to sell a match because these guys can't even wrestle, you know? I mean, I guess Drew can, but Punk hasn't been able to wrestle. Drew was injured for a big chunk of time up until just recently, and they're still making this something like, God, I gotta see this matchup. And I think it's just a good reminder, like promos and seeing two people who hate each other fight, that's what you want to see. It's like a masterclass. It's fantastic.
You don't get it too often. Dream mat status, I think that's closely you're gonna get to it, so why
and,
not?
And I am occasionally a harsh critic of one of these two. And I got to say, it's incredible. This is just, it's.
Oh, wait, hold on. Hold on. When it's me, I'm a hater, but you get to be a harsh critic? That's not fair.
I am fair and balanced.
You're not fair and balanced.
Just like the metric system.
Stop. That's the evil system. That's right. USA.
Fine. You want me to be a bad guy? I'm going to say it. This is my big take. And I don't care. Uh-oh. For once, I don't care what anyone in the chat thinks. I don't care what you think. I don't care what anyone on Twitter thinks.
You never care what I think, but continue.
I don't like broken dreams.
Is dumb.
I like the current Drew theme, and I don't want broken dreams to ever come back. I want to keep it where it is.
Wait, hold on.
I want to keep this as how it is.
Drew's current theme isn't bad. I like it. But you think if it's better than broken dreams... You think it's better than Broken Dreams, you are out your mind. Why did he keep bringing it back for his appearance? It's because not only is it an earworm, it not only is a nostalgia tag, it's actually one of the better theme songs of all time. Shaman's Harvest, Broken Dreams.
No, it's a
You're
terrible.
Out of time, so say goodnight.
Yeah, say goodnight. Go to sleep to our boring song.
Boring? Whoa.
Lull to sleep.
Whoa.
Your boring song. That's right.
You have ska. You have ska on the roster, and you're thinking that song is bad? Get out of here.
It's the impression that I get. Sell out with me.
Sell out. Sell out. Hate it. I hate it all.
So that's right. Drew, I want you to take the master copies of Broken Dreams and just chuck them somewhere. Throw them. We're never going to need them again. In fact, delete it off of Spotify, delete it off of Apple Music. We don't need it anymore. You got good music. Stick with what you have, and please don't get any more new music because you know you might not get good music if you get a remake right now.
that is definitely a possibility. But on Monday, when you come into work at the Wrestling Inc. Meteor, the locks are going to change because no one agrees with that statement. Shaman's Harvest, Broken Dreams is one of the best songs of that time period, man, and it's really amazing. I don't know why you have such a hater.
I have good ears, Flobo. I know good music. I listen to it, and come on.
Right. That's it. That I listen to music, therefore I'm right.
Kayla just said, keep ska, get rid of Bieber. Tut Graf says Jack needs to show up to school board hearings.
These old references.
You know what's ruining these kids today? Broken Dreams.
A lack of knowledge of Lance Storm's career. That's what the kids have gone wrong.
Yeah, let's get rid of science and add Lance Storm 101.
If I can be serious for a moment.
So I think that does it for us, Flobo. Overall, these shows, these in-between the tentpole event shows, I feel like lately they have been they haven't been the most unpredictable. We had some surprises tonight, but they just it feels very NXT like, where sometimes you have a show that's not necessarily I should say Black and Gold NXT, where sometimes you have a show that's not necessarily the most hyped, but based on the matches, but it still just delivers. It feels great. The crowd's into it, and you leave going, that was a great show.
Oh, yeah. First of all, Dylan Matthews, Jack is an award-winning DJ. I am too, Dylan. What the? that is messed up. I have the same credentials.
Sorry.
Okay. Second of all.
Dylan Matthews, real quick. Shout out to Dylan Matthews, who says, quote, Jack is an award-winning DJ, Flobo boys. Come on now. That's the end of the quote, and that's the end we'll talk about.
I have
about
the same awards he has, though. No,
Flobo, we got to move on. We got to move on.
we're out of time, Tony Schiavone. We have an overrun. No, real quick. I like these. This is obviously a post-WrestleMania shine. It's kind of losing its luster with some of the events themselves as far as the cards, but every time I flip them on, I've enjoyed myself. They're short. They're only 3 hours. I'm getting them at all hours of the time. I mean, we're here in the West Coast. It was 11 a.m. for wrestling. You can't lose.
Yeah, and we have, by the way, Ricky Sinclair. Next thing you know, Jack's going to say Joe Hendry's theme sucks. Not at all. I believe in Joe Hendry. Talk about an earworm. That is like an ear boa constrictor that just gets into your brain and squeezes it because that thing gets stuck in your head. Also, you know, Ricky saying thank you for the afternoon comedy and review, gentlemen. You guys, this is something that, again, is very important. Please leave a comment after the show is over. Leave a like. I see we've got a lot of people viewing right now, so all the likes definitely mean a lot to us. You can find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. You will be able to check me out Saturday show. On Monday, covering WWE Raw afterwards with Triple J. That's going to be me, Justin, and Jimmy. I don't know if it's us. Jimmy, I can't remember if it's us three. Is one of us taking the day off on Monday? I can't remember. But in any case, we're covering Monday. Are you on Flobo? Are you going to?
I think I am on Monday if you're talking about this Monday.
Well,
yeah.
You could skip it then.
Fair.
We have
the unhyped post. Oh, don't come. Don't bother. See you a week from Monday. Yeah.
No, it'll be a great show. It's supposed to be a big one. We hear rumors of the Wyatt Six showing up, and it'll be a good one. Check out that one. And make sure to follow at Wrestling Inc. for all your wrestling news and tune into our weekly programs. Guys, again, like, comment, share, subscribe. That does it for us. I'm going to hit the end stream button right now.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.